Clooney's new flick, Bootsy's new tunes, and Halloween movies. This is a new movies and music edition of the Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrenz.
And I'm Chris Mezick.
Welcome to Suburbicon, a town of great wonder and excitement.
Hey there.
Built with the promise of prosperity for all.
Unless you're the first African-American family to move to Suburbicon, apparently.
Okay.
Suburbicon comes out this week. It's a Joel and Ethan Coen movie directed by George Clooney. It stars Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, Oscar Isaac. I did not know that aspect of it. There's a lot of racial tension that also builds up during the course of the movie. And I feel all right saying because they show it in the trailer. But they can more allude to it, I suppose. It was a bigger part of the movie than I expected. You can hear my full review on Rivet tomorrow, and I'll get more into that. Also out this week, just in time for Halloween, Jigsaw, which is the next in the Saw movies, I guess. But the Saw movies wrapped up. They were done.
Yeah, so this is kind of like a movie that's kind of reacting to the stuff that happened in the other seven or something. It's not quite
honest.
A reboot. It's not a remake. It's just kind of like another story.
It's another one because the others made so much freaking money. They're like, you know what? We can't stop these movies. So
it was almost like a Halloween tradition.
It is.
Every year there was a new one for 7 years, pretty much, right in October. So
This one stars Matt Passmore, Tobin Bell, Callum Keith Rennie, and Hannah Emily Anderson. In order to be in the movie, you had to have three names to be a supporting actor in the movie. Thank You for Your Service, also out this week, stars Haley Bennett, Miles Teller, Keisha Castle Hughes, and Amy Schumer. Story of a group of U.S. soldiers returning from Iraq.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is a real movie?
It is, yeah. It's a story of the soldiers and how they assimilate back into regular life.
How have I heard nothing about this movie?
It's a lower budget movie.
But with those names, I mean, Miles Teller?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
Amy Schumer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that also comes out. And then I'm just going to say this just because I have a thing for Blake Lively.
Okay.
It's called All I See Is You. And the only reason I really have a thing for Blake Lively is because of that movie that she came out with last year called The Shallows, which was totally low budget, and it was that shark movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so much better than I had any anticipation of it being. And, I mean, it was good. It was tense, and God bless him, an hour and 27 minutes long. So, that also comes out this week. Stars Blake Lively, Jason Clark, Anna O'Reilly, and Miguel Fernandez. So, there's some all right stuff in the theaters for you to check out this week. I'm going to also preview coming up next week. My review will be Thor.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
Cool.
So I'm going to see that this afternoon. Should be a lot of fun.
You really like those mega corporate Disney movies,
right? I really do, yes. that's really all my small mind can understand most of the time. If it's not, you know, in order for me to really get it, I need a small amount of words and a big picture.
Yeah, maybe a large green man somewhere in the movie.
Exactly.
None of this slow-paced Blade Runner garbage.
No. If there's too much thinking involved and staring actors, I'm
with you, man.
Tuned out, man.
Life is way too precious to not be enjoying yourself. I'm not going to subject myself to a 2.5 hour movie that moves at a snail's pace.
2 hours and 47 minutes, almost 3 hours of Ryan Gosling expressionless staring into space, literally into space. Okay, let's do some Bootsy.
This is the school for fools and love. Did I mention another 40 days, 49?
I had no idea Bootsy Collins had a new record coming out this week.
It's his first new record in 6 years. It's called Worldwide Funk.
This does not sound funky. This is very, Barry White. This is very smooth and sensual.
Yeah. I love that Bootsy, in addition to playing bass, he acts more like a narrator on his own music at this point. Like, he doesn't really sing. Like, he has a lot of guest stars, or like his backing band takes over vocals, and he's always just kind of there to be like, yeah, baby.
Nice.
But if you've ever seen Bootsy live, holy cow, is his band incredible. There's like 20 people on stage. It's loud as hell, and it's just nonstop dancing. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. What else we got this week? New one from Kelly Clarkson, who's finally answering the question we've all been wondering, what's the meaning of life?
And, you know, I've always thought, ever since her first, win on American Idol, or she was runner-up.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But I knew that she was going to be the one that was going to solve that mystery of the meaning of life for us.
I mean, she's renowned for her philosophical views on most things,
exactly.
Obviously. We also have a new one from Huizer. It's called Pacific Daydream.
Also known for their philosophical views on things.
Yeah, and so I'm just going to take a wild guess and say that people who claim to be Weezer fans are going to hate this new album because they've hated the last, 10 records that the band put out, but they still go buy the records. They still go see the band live. I don't understand Weezer fans' relation with that band. Because all you ever hear is, this band sucks, and then they sell out a stadium full of the same people that say they suck, so I don't get it.
I love me some Weezer. I'm going to go grab it.
Right, but you actually like them. You're not one of those people who are like, I loved Pinkerton. They've sucked since then.
Totally,
but then
man.
They keep going to see them. They keep buying the new albums. Like, I don't understand that fan mentality. Like, where do you stand on Weezer? Do you
just,
like them or not?
I just want them to do Pinkerton. That's the only album I want them to do.
Well, they're the ones who grew up then and you didn't. Sorry.
They do. There is a really weird relationship there.
Yeah.
What's the guy's lead, who's lead singer? What's his name again?
He's like Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's a cool name for some reason.
They're fine. Weezer's fine.
Yeah, you know.
I'm angry about other people being angry at not liking Weezer.
Yeah. All right. Let's get off that. Let's talk about something more fun. Because Halloween comes up next week, and we won't be able to talk about that. It's, Tuesday? So today we are going to kind of go through our favorite Halloween movies.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, you know, I don't think I could get through Halloween without seeing It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, nice choice. Yeah.
I know not technically a movie, but I will always make sure that I look through and I set the DVR. I've got to make sure that I at least see it once.
Yeah.
Just because I want to go hang out with Linus in the most sincere pumpkin patch in the world. That's what I want to do. And see the Great Pumpkin come and bring toys to all the good girls
totally.
And boys. You know,
it's such a departure from the usual scary movie, too. It's just nice.
Oh, my God. And, you know, Charlie Brown screws up with his costume. He's got the holes all over it and people keep giving him rocks. You know, by the way, Charlie Brown lives in the crappiest neighborhood, man. Because everybody goes up there, they get treats, and then he puts up his bag as rock.
Yeah,
and the sound it makes, the sound it makes when it lands in the bag. Charlie Brown movie, Charlie Brown TV shows always had great sounds, like the teacher wah wah wah,
yep.
wah, you know, and so
the soundtracks, the songs.
Also, of course, Halloween.
It's
the greatest Halloween movie ever. In fact, it's one of the greatest horror movies of all time,
and,
you know?
And that would even include just the 1-2 punch of the original and then the sequel, which takes place 5 minutes after the original ends, is just as good, just as tense and thrilling, and two of my favorite movies of all time, and I'm getting really, really hyped to see John Carpenter again in 2 weeks play some of that music.
Yeah, I'd also make an argument for Part 3, just because it's so silly. And,
I love Part 3. Yeah, Part 3, you can always tell who's full of it based on their opinion of Part 3, because the people who are like, that movie sucks, have never seen it, because they're going by the fact that Michael Myers isn't in it. It's like, that's fine. Get over that. Like, if you know the history of the franchise, you know they were trying to kill it with that third one.
Right.
So they made a movie on purpose without Michael Myers. But at the end of the day, it's still a really creepy story about a shady Halloween mask company that's trying to control the minds of impressionable young kids.
Right.
The day of Halloween. So I think people need to revisit that one. If you're one of those people that thinks it sucks, I think you're wrong and lying.
Right. And then lastly, it's not really a Halloween movie. I guess we were even talking about how there's not really too many Halloween movies
that
just happen on Halloween. But I love Creepshow. Remember Creepshow?
Yeah, I got Creepshow 1 and 2. Again, because it combines some of the best horror directors and writers at the time, like George Romero and Stephen King, for example.
Yeah. The one with the crate under the stairs always gets me.
Yeah.
The one with with the "Thanks for the ride, lady."
Yeah,
that one always gets me. And then the one that closes it all, where he buries the guy up to his neck in the sand as the tide is coming in.
Yeah,
where's my cake? It's Father's Day. Where's my cake?
Along those same lines, so Creepshow, the premise is they're like an anthology, a couple of short stories.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a movie set on Halloween with a similar premise that kind of doesn't get as much love as I wish it would. It's called Trick or Treat, and it's the same idea. It's set on Halloween, where all of the stories are kind of tied together by this spooky little mascot just running around causing mischief, but there's like three different stories told throughout the course of that movie that are all kind of weird and creepy.
I don't think I've seen that in years and years, but yes, I remember
really
that
cool movie.
I have to go revisit that. Yeah,
I think I was working at Blockbuster at the time, and it was one of those movies that just kind of came out flying under the radar, but like every time people would bring it back, they're like, this movie was awesome.
Right.
Like, why is no one talking about this? I also just love that idea of doing kind of an anthology of short stories, because I think horror stories work so much better when they're straight and to the point, you know, because you can have like these long-winded movies. Like a good example of this is that movie What Lies Beneath was on TV a few nights ago. That one with Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer. Not your usual go-to scary movie.
Yeah, horror
because flick. Because it's definitely more about, you know, the interpersonal relationships and the more subtle stuff. But it's still a frightening movie because it's still about paranormal stuff happening. But I just love the idea of a short story that's right to the point, maybe based off of an urban myth or legend that we all know, and then just putting that little new twist on it to change
it up
a little bit.
And look, I say it all the time, movies get ruined by being too long.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think editing can go a long way, and I think a lot of horror movies have demonstrated that, especially like slasher movies.
A slasher movie does not need to be more than an hour, 25 minutes. If you're there longer, then it's too long.
Yeah, can you imagine like, Friday the 13th, the 3-hour classic.
No, absolutely not. How about this? Friday the 13th part 15 and 16, break it, just cut it in half and we'll be good.
Yeah, there's so many good horror movies out there. There's even more bad ones that are just as good, depending on the mood you're in. Of course, this year, kind of a bummer. We lost George Romero. So usually his original zombie trilogy are my go-tos this time of year. Obviously, some of the other John Carpenter movies like The Thing, The Fog, just some of my favorites.
They Live.
They Live. Oh, so good. Also, They Live, it combines two of my loves, which is horror movies and wrestling, because it stars Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper, yeah. What was the John Carpenter movie about the priest?
Serpent in the Rainbow, probably.
Yeah.
The one with all the voodoo stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know what? Go out and get some John Carpenter movies. And then have fun. I don't know. Halloween's fun, right? Halloween's fun.
Yeah.
A good time to, because, you're not always up for a scary movie, but Halloween sure is a good time to have it,
I think so.
Yeah, so
go eat some candy.
Go eat candy, get all sugar rushed, and then go watch some good horror movies.
Do it.
Get scared. And if that doesn't scare you, the morning feed should. And you can make sure that it comes to you just about every day, Monday through Thursday, on our podcast channels. Google Play Music, Stitcher, and iTunes. I'm not even going to tell you to look on the Facebook page because I always forget. This has been a new movies and music edition of The Morning Feed. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Chris Mizek.